Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple of dudes who like to sit around and drink, in this instance, apple wine. Boone's Farm Strawberry Daiquiri Apple Wine. And talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
It did not occur to me. I just now read that, and I was like, it can't be apple wine. It's flavored like strawberry daiquiri.
This shit ain't grapes.
It has to be made of strawberries,
right? You think
right?
It's just squeezed strawberries?
Yeah. Isn't that how you make wine in the first place?
It is not. Anyway.
You just have a fat man roll around in a barrel, and then whatever falls out is good.
Yeah, I've seen cartoons.
Yeah, that's how you drink.
Yeah. Guys, this is not a wine review podcast, although it may transition to that at some point, as we have less and less Alex Jones-related content to discuss.
Yeah, it depends on how this trial really shakes out, whether or not we will just switch to... red wine.
We're exactly. We're wine wonks.
The number one Alex Jones and wine podcast, but instead we just cross out Alex Jones.
One down.
Yep.
Now we've just got to outlaw wine.
and we're completely screwed. Yeah.
Anyway, this is a show where
we'd become just another interview podcast, and nobody needs any more of those.
Certainly not two white dudes sitting around. This is a show where we take a day in the life of Alex Jones and break it down critically and discuss what he's up to and deal with the lies that come out of his mouth. But there's a twist.
What's the twist?
The twist is that I know a shit ton about Alex Jones.
How about me? How much do I know about
Zilch.
Alex? Nothing? Ah, damn it. I must have forgotten all of it
Indeed.
At this point.
I'd like to start today's show off with a little bit of a speech.
Okay.
Fuck you,
all right.
First of all.
I love your opening speeches. I love them.
As you're listening to this, today is my birthday. I wanted to take a moment to reflect on the fact that my life at 33 is not exactly what I anticipated.
Okay. All right.
There is no part of me that would have predicted that I would be a co-host of a Alex Jones debunking podcast.
That's actually my goal since I was about 8 years old.
Since you were a wee baby.
Since I was a wee lad.
I've had a lot of expectations of my life over the years. Like when I was younger, I probably thought I was going to be a professor like my dad. When I grew up a little bit, I wanted to be like an archaeologist or maybe a Greek teacher. I wanted to teach ancient Greek because I love the language and studied it extensively in college.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you speak Greek?
Not really, but I can translate it.
Ah.
And mostly Homeric Greek.
Okay.
Homeric and Attic Greek are
the older Greeks.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm still slightly fluent enough in Greek. Who cares? My point is, those were...
I'm just trying to derail this speech into some sort of Greek thing.
Those were things, and then I got a little bit further down the track, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. And, you know, that was the expectation of my life for a really long time. And now we're here, and it's not a disappointment to me. I could not be happier that this is how I spend my time. And
right?
It's great, and I can't thank you all enough who listen. And we're seeing huge jumps in numbers. We're seeing massive download spikes. And it's a thrill. It's great. And I can't thank you enough, listeners, that at least in some ways validating, this period of my life. Now,
if any of you speak Greek, we are, knowledgefight@gmail.com. We now know that we got a whole new, audience that we can translate this to.
F. Caristo for listening.
Yeah, but, So, thank you to all the people who've stuck with us in the beginning and shared this. You guys have been amazing. And then.
It's been massive.
Hi, new people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to get real mad, probably.
And now the two further pieces of my speech.
Yes.
Are that if you want to give me a birthday present, feel free to. And the thing that would be the best, the most awesome birthday present is continuing to share the show with friends. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
We're seeing word of mouth and it makes such a big difference. Leave a review on the iTunes, subscribe. And if you feel so inclined to give me a physical gift, I'm not going to turn you down. We got a Patreon. Go ahead and do that. In this 33rd year of my life, I want this to expand. I want to further go after right-wing propaganda because I hate it so much.
It is the scourge of every conversation with an old white person.
Absolutely. Now, the last piece of my speech.
Yes.
Is that I'm going to introduce this as the anthem for my 33rd year on this planet. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about.
I have no idea what's happening.
This is Sasha Banks' pro wrestler's theme song.
Guys,
entrance music.
He did not warn me about this in advance. I take no joy or pleasure in this. I am so sorry. I'm going to make sure this is your last 33rd birthday.
Anyway,
what is happening?
I'm not sure, but that's the anthem that's going to be going through my head this entire year.
Okay,
and it's going to inform our I don't know.
I'm going to need a lot more Boone's Farm then.
I'm mildly hungover, but I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to say that's it, man. That's what it's all about. 33rd year, Sasha Banks theme song.
All right.
I really should have probably written my points out ahead of time.
No. I liked your extemporaneous speaking.
So anyway, the big point is thank you all so much, and let's keep it moving. Let's keep going. But before we get into today's content, I want to say I fucked up. I want to thank Drew, who donated to the show in early April. We forgot to give a shout out, and this one's for you, man.
I'm a policy wonk.
Welcome to the team.
Welcome back.
Welcome to the team, Policy Wonk. We'll go through and give everyone one of these. Everyone who's donated in the past.
All right.
Do it one at a time.
One at a time.
For all you you longtime supporters, we appreciate it. So, here's what's been going on InfoWars this week.
Yes.
This last week.
Down to business.
Alex.
To defeat the Huns.
Alex is in court, so he can't do his show.
No.
He is in court during the hours that the show is going on. So 2 days out of the week, David Knight hosted, and I could not listen.
No.
The other days, Paul Joseph Watson, who's visiting Austin at this point.
Pile of shit.
Yeah, he has been hosting and race baiting his ass off.
Great.
Two things.
Hope he gets hit by a truck.
Two narratives that he's been spinning are completely bogus and so racist on their face that I just want to take a second without playing his voice to explain what he's been talking about.
Okay.
The first thing is Malcolm Nance. Are you aware of him?
No.
He's a pundit and former, he has an extensive experience in the intelligence world. He is an expert on Al-Qaeda and ISIS. He's a terrorism specialist. And he tweeted that he nominated, the Trump Hotel in Istanbul to be the first target of terrorism against Trump's properties.
Nominated meaning he was saying that this is the most likely thing, or
yes.
Nominated meaning he was like,
hey guys,
hey terrorists, get on at it.
That is,
because if I was me, I would go to Mar-a-Lago, but I mean, hey.
The second version of what you're saying is what Paul Joseph Watson is arguing.
Gotcha.
But the reality is what he's saying is he predicts that that will be the first target.
Right.
Because of course.
Right.
Of
like,
course.
Like the World Trade Center, we could have predicted that would be the target because it had already been the target one time before.
Sure, and you said, I nominate this to be the next target. You're not
yes.
saying, hey, terrorists, get at it. What you're saying is, you know, this is the most likely. It's clunky language.
It could be an Oscar thing all over again. Maybe they hit it, but they go, oh, sorry, we got the wrong place.
It's
we want to hit this. Yeah.
Like in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
It was clunky language, the term nominate, and he deleted the tweet, I think probably because it was messy language.
Yeah.
But what he was saying was very clear. He was making a prediction.
Yes.
It wasn't, but of course Paul Joseph Watson's like, this guy rhetorically is in bed with the Muslims. And
yep.
It's horrible.
That scans.
The second thing is there was that shooter in Cleveland. Who went on Facebook Live and shot that old man.
Oh, the guy who I saw killed himself.
Yes, he ended up a couple days later killing himself after
yeah.
he was on the run for a long time.
Right.
Paul Joseph Watson tweeted out a picture of a CNN headline news type thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was cropped. It was a cropped picture, and it just showed Cleveland shooter at large, considered armed and dangerous, and there was a silhouette picture like a random placeholder avatar image.
Okay, and so he was, let me guess his narrative there.
Please.
He was saying that CNN doesn't have the balls to publish, to let everybody know that it was a black man who committed the crime.
You nailed it.
Now, let me ask you one further question. Was this a totally accurate and factual thing that he tweeted out?
No, because... The picture was photoshopped,
Great.
It wasn't that there, okay, so the actual picture is just bigger. And what it is that with the silhouette avatar, picture, and then to the right of it is a picture of the guy.
Yeah!
He is posting just completely inaccurate things in order to race bait. And so someone pointed this out. He didn't delete the tweet. He didn't apologize. And a day later, when he was hosting the Alex Jones show, brought it up. Why won't CNN say that this guy is black?
So he can't possibly... So he has to know.
Yeah.
He knows this.
He has to, yeah.
It's been pointed out to him.
Absolutely.
And then he still goes and fucking says it in a public sphere where people can hear him.
Yep.
People who are already on edge hoping that... CNN or somebody mm-hmm. like that fucks up who thinks that probably think there's a race war coming.
There is.
Like that kind of shit. Is yeah, that exactly. what's going on?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right.
Because again, we've gone over it and according to QuantCast, the statistics are that almost, something that
old white men.
It's all old white men.
Old white men.
And I got some weird statistics to break down later in the show that
single
I found.
Worst demographic of human beings on this planet.
The easiest to scare, certainly.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is what Paul Joseph Watson has kind of been up to. He's been atrocious to watch. And I gotta be honest, without the quick editing that he does in his videos that he puts out, he's not ready for prime time, baby.
Oh.
He is not good at that desk.
Okay.
He's not there yet. Cause he relies so much on quick edits that just having him speak for 10 minutes,
not good.
No personality. No it. He has no it, which is fucking fully demonstrated by the he had a time where he was on air with Leanne McAdoo,
right.
who I've already
your love of your life,
but who yeah. I've already said is a zero in terms
right.
of like her abilities as
right,
an anchor,
right, right.
and she was much more electric.
Oh boy,
on screen than him.
Oh boy, it this is terrible. We had this conversation a while back. What if Alex Jones finally does go down?
Yeah.
Like,
still,
what if this is the thing that does take him down?
I still think Paul Joseph Watson is the heir apparent.
And I think that's, I still think it's the end of InfoWars.
Mm.
Alex Jones is the cult leader, and when you take the cult leader down, it's the end of the cult.
If you're not good-
Unless it's Scientology.
If you're not good about how you take down that cult, you have a charismatic figure rise through the ranks and take over. Like, that's happened in tons of cults in the past. When the leader dies,
yeah.
Someone else comes up.
Yeah, but it's not like it.
Like there were generations of the Branch Davidians that has.
Oh,
that,
that's true.
Even that example out
right.
of Alex's oeuvre.
Right.
You know, there wasn't just one guy. The leader died, and then David Koresh came to power.
Right.
Typically, whenever a secondary leader comes, that's when things go off the rails. That's when shit turns into like suicide pacts.
Yeah.
So I think that if Alex does end up going down and you end up with a new leader ascending, you'll see it fall apart much quicker. But I still think, here's what I think. Alex Jones has done a really good job of building up individuals that fit certain demographics as his team. So you have Owen Schroyer, who's kind of like a frat boy. Who's kind of like a cool bro.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's 27 years old. He's kind of smarmy. He's like, hey, man, I'm cool. I play basketball. Then you got...
That's... That's okay.
Pretty cool.
All right. That's pretty cool.
Then you got Rob Dew.
I know people who play basketball, too.
You got Rob Dew, who's there for the nerds. Nerds can identify with Rob Dew as this kind of put-upon, kind of guy. So you got that. You got the fucking smoke shop of a lady, super hot Leanne McAdoo.
Jesus Christ.
For
man.
The Fox News type of thing, you know, cause they always,
they
always have their hot ladies.
A hot white lady with blonde hair.
She's not blonde. She's gonna dirty brunette.
Okay. Well, they're
like strawberry blonde,
then
maybe.
InfoWars is at least more diverse than Fox News.
Slightly. you got Millie Weaver, who's kind of like a young sorority girl type.
Right.
So you got that base covered, that sort of demographic.
Also a clown.
Sometimes clown, sometimes yeah. rainbow snatch. Then you got fucking, I don't know why you got John Rappaport, but you got him.
Well.
You got David Knight for the old folks.
Okay.
You know, the people who are a little bit more lame. Uh-huh. You got Jerome Corsi for the racists. You got all of them for the racists.
Yeah,
frankly.
I was going to say, you got InfoWars for the racists.
You got Anthony Cumia for the people who loved Opie and Anthony. You know,
okay.
Well, you know, that sort of aggressive dude, that aggressive young dude who's like, yeah, I'm against PC.
Again, I had no idea how many people actually work for InfoWars.
There's even tons more who are like behind the scenes
that
people.
That is, well, I mean, I assume there were behind the scenes people.
There's at least.
I assumed it wasn't just them.
Alex,
although that would be great if it was just everybody who has appeared on screen also does double duty as like the boom operator. That would be fantastic.
Well, whenever they're out on the road, Rob Dew is the cameraman.
Right.
I've seen video of him holding up iPhones for Alex and shit.
Beautiful.
But my point is that he's basically made segments of the youth population that are covered by each of his, like, it's strategic.
He's trying to hit all four quadrants.
Right. And
that's what you're saying.
And I think that,
unfortunately, all of his quadrants are old white men, so I'm confused as to why he thinks that's a good idea.
But I still think that if he were to go down, there is, a conceivable, like, all of them form, like, Voltron into one capable unit. Because they all have their own little segments of their
okay.
people.
Like the Italian job whenever, what's-his-face dies.
Statham?
No.
Mark Wahlberg?
No.
Most Deaf?
Sutherland. At the very beginning. Sutherland dies and then Mark Wahlberg.
Kiefer?
No, Donald.
Oh.
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. Let's get the business at hand. My point.
Anyways, Boone's Farm, strawberry daiquiri.
My point is that I think they'll be fine. And the PJW sucks.
Yes.
So we're not going to be talking about and covering PJW any further than we already have. What
Thank
we are
God.
Going to be talking about is the fact that Alex Jones, possibly against his lawyer's wishes, has been dispatching from the road, as it were. I think he's shooting videos in the courthouse in breaks.
God.
Because there are
damn it.
There are videos that he's shooting in front of a like what appears to be an entire wall of legal books. Like, I would describe it.
What is he doing?
Because all of these books match.
It's all the same book.
I'll put a picture of this up on Twitter, but it legitimately looks like a 1,000-part encyclopedia. Like, it's just, you know, all the books are like A through B, B through C. That's what it looks like.
If it is,
I don't
if
think
it is actually,
that...
if it is actually his place though, I bet those are all glued there and you cannot pull them
of
out.
Of course, it's a
yeah.
facade.
He's
like
never
his
read
whole
a book.
Life.
Yeah.
He has read one. We know
okay,
that.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
But.
He skimmed it.
I can't imagine that room being in his house.
No.
So he's been recording things about how nuclear war with North Korea is coming and all this shit. And I don't care to talk about that because as we've learned this week, those like fighter, boats weren't even
they
going
They were going
there.
The wrong way. Not and, the wrong way. They were never intended to go there.
Nope.
So what is happening? What are we doing?
And South Korea has said, we will not trust Trump in the future. Because
of course not.
And,
why did they trust him in the fucking first place?
Well, their entire national security is kind of dependent on our cooperation. And
yeah.
So if he's lying about things that are important to their national security, why the fuck should they trust him?
Right.
So that's bad.
They should have seen that coming. That's on them.
Yeah.
That's on them.
You can't.
With Trump, you know, don't even get fool me once.
To quote the band.
You've already been fooled. But the fact that Trump is even alive, you've already gotten fooled once.
So we're not going to be talking about those ones either because it's just like, I don't even fucking care.
New North Korea.
It's all stupid.
Nuclear war and they're taking my kids.
I think that the more interesting thing is a video that came out on Friday and is what we'll be discussing. This aired on the Alex Jones show. Paul Joseph Watson threw to it and came back after it. This video came out on Thursday. And keep in mind that this was on Friday. And on Thursday, Alex had put out a statement that was, please respect my privacy and my family's privacy.
I'm not going
to be talking to the press.
Right.
That was on Thursday. This video was on Friday.
So he is now talking to the press, basically.
If you consider InfoWars and PJW the press, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So this video is...
Well, those are just his buds.
This video is ostensibly about Bill O'Reilly.
the old usage of the word ostensibly. Always a good sign that we're going to stay on target.
The reason that I say ostensibly is because it really feels like he's working through some stuff, and he's using Bill O'Reilly as an excuse to.
Okay.
And that we'll see. Anyway, here's the introduction of the premise. Here we go.
I haven't commented yet on Bill O'Reilly being let go from Fox after 15 years at the top of the cable news cycle with up to 5 million viewers a night.
I've been on the air for 20 years, so who the fuck cares about this Bill O'Reilly asshole?
And I have 70 billion listeners, yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Fox News,
So at this point, we don't really know which direction this is going to go, because it sounds...
It could go either way. It sounds, it could be like, how dare they take Bill O'Reilly off the air?
Yep, or it could be about time.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I love the mystery of it. Like, I legitimately... When I was listening to this, I was like, God damn it, I'm stymied. I don't know which way this is gonna break.
Uh-huh.
I should have known.
But, oh yeah?
Yeah, I should have known. Anyway, here we go.
Bill O'Reilly is an obviously very complex character, a very, very intelligent man. I remember seeing him on Extra and shows like that back in the 1980s.
Going.
He's a complicated figure. Also, I'd like to point out that Bill O'Reilly, according to his IMDb, never appeared on Extra until 2015. I think what he meant was Inside Edition.
Okay.
Or one
right.
of those, like,
all right.
junk magazine shows.
He was there, though. He was somewhere that you could see him.
He was on some sort of pulp TV nonsense at some point. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God.
But
if only it stayed.
He wasn't on Extra. Anyway.
In early 1990s. Doing pieces on the JFK assassination and the government shipping narcotics into the United States. He was once pretty much a proto Alex Jones. He was a forerunner of investigative modern journalism and the internet world, kind of a Matt Drudge in some respects.
Okay.
He was also famous for, you know, saying F it, do it live.
Yes, those are his two main accomplishments.
That is it for us today, and we will leave you with a I can't do it.
He's playing the
we'll
recording?
Do it live. Okay. We'll do it live.
But he conveniently doesn't include the part where he starts screaming obscenities.
Well, I mean, it's a family show.
To play us out. What does that mean? Like the part where it's clear that Bill O'Reilly is an asshole.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand a sentence that's very easy to understand. And so that's what threw him into a rage. He's a rage-filled man.
Right.
But you pointed it out very nicely that it's like, okay, he was on TV in the 80s talking about the JFK assassination.
Yep.
And then he screamed in this video.
And
that's it.
Yep.
That's
well,
it.
he was a proto-InfoWars.
Sure.
If it weren't for, well, you know, it was nice that Bill O'Reilly started doing it. But mm-hmm. we all know that Alex Jones was going to do it no matter what, and he was going to be the best at it.
And if he didn't get cucked out by himself, probably. Like, he sold out. He's going to go on to say that Bill O'Reilly sold out and shit like that.
Right.
But yeah, at this point, we're still not sure which
no.
way the ball is going to break.
No. Are we fans?
I'm not. Although, I will say that in this next clip, Alex does introduce something that is a little bit unfair. So I'll deal with that in a second.
Oh no, we're being unfair to the guy who sexually harassed women for the past 30 years.
Bully, famous when he had a radio talk show that failed for having his security team with caller ID, whether it was in Florida or New York, actually in some cases reportedly fly to go to another state to go to the door and knock on it and threaten callers that had disagreed with him. Or made a point he didn't like. That is just crazy. Like, I remember him threatening callers on air. We should probably look online and try to find some of those.
Yeah.
So the guy was a consummate bully.
I mean, there are plenty of instances you can find of Alex yelling at callers, too.
It takes one to know one.
Right.
Is this going to turn into Alex Jones criticizing Bill O'Reilly for everything Alex Jones does?
Like I said, I think he's working through some stuff.
He's just projecting, not projecting, he's looking at what? His own future?
Maybe.
If he has a future, eventually it will catch up with
him.
Well,
I mean, there are some allegations of, some, you know, we shouldn't be covering stuff like this, but there are some allegations that are coming out in the court case that, if true, are real bad.
You think he laid a hand on your Leanne McAdoo?
I don't know. I don't.
There it is. There it is. This is why we're truly angry at Alex Jones.
Anyway, he's up there saying that Bill O'Reilly had his security fly to callers' houses,
yeah,
and knock on the door.
Right.
Not true.
Not true.
No. But I found...
It seems like it's a very plausible thing that Bill O'Reilly would do, actually.
I found the clip on Media Matters.
I mean, he's a giant pile of shit. It would not surprise me if he was also a rich pile of shit. And didn't he do that fucking thing where he had the cops... fucking stalk his ex-wife for him.
I don't know about that, but probably.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah. So why not? Why wouldn't he send a security detail to a random caller's house who apparently gave him their address?
Well, actually, like I said, like I was saying, I found on Media Matters, they have the audio of what Alex is talking about from Bill O'Reilly's show, which I will play now.
Oh.
Orlando, Florida. Mike, go.
Hey, Bill. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I like to listen to you during the day. I think Keith Olbermann's show.
There you go. Mike is, he's a gone guy. You know, we have this, we have your phone numbers, by the way. So if you're listening, Mike, we have your phone number and we're going to turn it over to Fox Security and you'll be getting a little visit.
Maybe Mike is from the mothership.
No, maybe Mike's going to get in big trouble because we're not going to play around. When you call us, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, we do have your phone number. And if you say anything untoward, obscene, or anything like that, Fox Security, then we'll contact your local authorities and you will be held accountable. Fair?
That's fair.
What the fuck are you talking about?
See, this is what the difficulty is. You notice that it just cut and then he's a gone guy.
Yeah.
And
I don't understand why he's a gone guy.
Well, here's why. Whenever you're doing live radio, there's a 7-second delay.
Oh, so he probably said some shit.
Yeah. And they have that there because the FCC will fine them if someone swears on air or something like that.
That's the Janet Jackson tit rule.
Right. But it's always been in place in radio. Like I remember.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When I was listening to Loveline when I was younger, they would have chops that would end up happening.
Uh-huh.
It was because someone swore and then they had to kick them off the air.
Okay.
And the swear would never make it through to air unless tons of people kept calling in and swearing and they would eat up the 7-second delay.
That's pretty great.
That is a thing that can happen.
That's pretty great.
Right. So, but the problem with that is that guy could have just said, fuck you or something like that.
Yeah.
Or he could have threatened Bill. We don't know that.
Right.
So the idea that he's saying, I don't agree with your position, I'm going to send security to you, is not fair.
No,
we don't have enough information.
He's having Fox Security call the local authorities for somebody swearing at him on air.
But that might not be the situation. The guy might have said, I'm going to kill you, or something like that.
Well, yeah, but that's great radio. You don't cut that out.
I think you do. I don't know. I mean, it is compelling.
It's great radio.
I don't know.
How many times has Howard Stern been threatened with death on air?
I don't know. I don't really listen to Stern.
Me neither, but I'm guessing a bunch. At least twice.
But that's why Stern's a great broadcaster and O'Reilly's radio show failed, as Alex Jones has told us.
Oh, did it fail?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think it was actually very popular and made a lot more money and had a lot more listeners than Alex Jones is popular.
I think the radio factor has been on for decades.
Yeah.
Possibly. Also,
didn't we actually do a rundown of who makes the most money from radio and wasn't O'Reilly up there?
I know that
Hannity was up there because he's a giant fuckface who should get hit by a truck.
Yeah, I mean he had a huge audience whenever he was on, but yeah, now it's we'll get into the specifics of the statistics when he brings up another lie later, but it's interesting because at this point, it is still, he's painting this picture of like, well, he's a complex guy,
yeah.
But also he just refuses to address the fact that he's getting fired for sexually harassing tons of women.
Well, yeah, Alex wouldn't want to put out there that he's against sexual harassment. That's a dangerous position to take in Alex Jones's world.
Well, yeah, I think so. But that leads us to this next clip where he's gets mad at Bill O'Reilly.
Can you say pussy on the radio?
Yeah, I think you can.
Like, but like if you called Alex Jones a pussy on the radio, he would probably cut it out, right?
Oh, he'd hang up on you.
Yeah, but would he leave it in there?
I don't know. I mean, on the internet broadcast, probably.
Fantastic.
He keeps in so much shit he shouldn't. So I mean, I don't know why.
So much incriminating shit.
Legitimately,
yeah.
The only thing that gets cut is his karaoke. That's the only thing I.
God damn it! We need it.
I know.
Fuck it! Let's do it live.
Yeah, seriously, donate to our Patreon for my birthday present, and we'll be able to get Alex Jones's karaoke. Anyway, in this next clip, to obfuscate from the fact that there's sexual harassment going on, and that's the real problem.
Yes.
He says this.
And he also would do stuff like play a clip of me yelling about some police corruption, turn my face red and say, coming up, we explore sexual predators against women.
No, it's that you think that's what it's going to go to, but it's not.
Oh,
so
but that's a perfect spot to like get into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that Bill O'Reilly says they're going to be researching sexual predators against women is great.
Sure.
So fucking hypocritical.
It's very easy to research yourself.
It's the anti-gay conservative who winds up caught with a rent boy.
The log cabin Republican?
Oh,
that's not even fair, though.
No. Log cabin Republicans are just regular,
I thought they were just gay Republican. Okay, yeah, but they're, never mind. I misused terms. Yeah. I apologize. Basically. But here's the, so Alex has spun this narrative before that O'Reilly used a image of him. We talked about it in a past episode.
Yeah.
That he said, like, Alex Jones, and then had his picture up there, and then said, we're going to explore pedophiles.
Which could be a veiled, like, hey, check this out. That's pretty funny. Or it could have just been a timing thing.
You know what it was? It was neither. Because it didn't happen. Alex.
Wait, what?
Alex plays what he's talking about after what he just said here. He plays the clip from the O'Reilly Factor.
Uh-huh.
And I'll play it for you right now. He never mentions sexual harassment. He never mentions sex crimes or pedophilia at all. Here, listen, like Alex just
made that up.
He proves that he's a liar in real time right here. So here you go.
They read kind of fast because they're too dumb.
You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers and you bastards are probably going to end up killing me one day.
Psycho killer.
Now Facebook is apologizing for allowing it worldwide. But can anything be done to stop the hatred, which is directly linked into the IRS Tea Party scandal? We'll have a Factor investigation.
Well, no one's ever said that about me.
Wait.
That had nothing to do with
it. That had nothing to do with it.
It had some sort of things to do with tax fraud, tax scams, the Tea Party, Facebook censoring stuff. It had nothing to do with the thing that Alex claims, like he's so mad about. I didn't even realize that because I never looked into it because I don't want to go dig through fucking O'Reilly clips.
Yeah, no, I would never want to.
So I never looked into it, but we should have known.
Yeah, that's right. That's our fault.
Yeah.
We should have just guessed he was lying.
Whenever you take anything
our
Alex says.
Our default should be a lie instead of being like, well, although that does sound reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
That does sound like some shit that O'Reilly would do if he was being a dick about it.
Right, or if there was just that janky timing.
Yeah,
but it turns out it's just completely in Alex's head. It's just 100% in his head.
Huh. Fantastic.
Now, you could make an argument that the thing
he's
that
a lot like O'Reilly in that he's a very complicated man, but very unlike O'Reilly, or perhaps very much like O'Reilly in that they're both fucking stupid.
Yep, it's, it is unfortunate.
And evil.
It is unfortunate that we keep coming back to this, that like, we have like a Joker that we're up against, but he is an idiot. Like, if Joker was just really dumb and yelled a lot,
like,
that's basically...
Like, in the Dark Knight, all of those complicated plans are just like, oh, shit,
if
I got
Batman,
foiled again.
If Batman and Robin just had a podcast about the Joker, that's the situation we're in right now. So
Rappaport's here, too? He's hiding in the bushes,
no,
actually.
Although, update... He was on Thursday. Rappaport was on Thursday, and picture's still not
picture's
hung up.
Picture's still not up.
Still not up. Also, he has still not learned about us, unfortunately, and his report was garbage.
That would be fun if our listeners, we don't have any of those rabid alt-right tweeters who are threatening people.
No.
We just have nice people who are like, John, just hang the picture up.
I encourage
just
you.
Just do it.
Okay, now I'm changing my birthday wish.
We need to get this picture hung up.
Everyone tweet at John Rappaport. His Twitter handle is at John Rappaport. Just ask him about the picture.
Is it a good picture? Is it your favorite picture? Where did the picture come from?
It's got to be like in the middle because it's not hung up, which you would do with a picture you love, but it's not thrown away like you would do with a picture that you have no use for.
It probably has some complex memories attached to it. Mm-hmm. Like that was his second wife's first picture that she ever painted.
As far as I can tell, he's been married to the same lady for years and years, my friend.
Yeah,
so.
But I'm going to guess secret family. I'm going to go with secret family.
Hey, don't.
Hey, he goes on Skype to see his other children. That's
the InfoWars audience is his children. He tries to heal the babies and tell them not to get vaccines.
Oh,
don't go to college because it's a brainwashing camp.
Not necessarily wrong on that one.
Not necessarily right.
No.
So this next clip, we finally get into the fact that Bill O'Reilly is a sexual harasser, which it's taken a little while, but we're there.
No one's ever said that about me. So, again, he was projecting on that. Yours truly, Alex Jones, what he himself has settled cases on, not where he put out advances towards women and then they rebuffed it and stopped, but where he pressured people under him over and over and over and over and over and over again to have sex with him. And, of course, they refused him. And then he would reportedly demote them or have them transferred. And Roger Ailes basically encouraged all of this, and he's been let go with the same reason. Now, that said.
So.
I love that little throwaway bit there where it's like, and of course they rebuffed him.
Of course.
If I had done that, never would they have rebuffed me.
Well, that's because he's the symbol of masculinity.
He's the symbol of, you know, look, are you a cheerleader? He's gonna fuck you.
Yeah.
Are you a punk rock chick?
Doesn't matter.
Gonna fuck you.
As long as the girls have a spring in their step.
Exactly.
As he put it on our last episode. I thank you, Alex, on this fifth clip of the episode, finally getting into the fact that Bill O'Reilly is a sexual harasser.
Yes.
And that is.
At least.
Now, the rest of this clip, or the rest of these clips entirely for the rest of the episode, are essentially him, Alex, then going on to muddy the waters, and claiming that, first of all, there's other people who are worse.
Is this a globalist plot?
You got it.
Yes!
Globalists are in play.
We haven't seen enough globalist, like, full-on globalist plots yet.
Yep. This is part of trying to take down the Patriots. But first,
gotcha.
Before he gets to that and spells out that narrative, he has to get to, like, really being like, all right, Bill's bad, but what about these other people?
Yeah.
So he has to play that.
Minimize those crimes.
Well, then it is also this game, the whataboutism that people play that is like, you know, it's the biggest example is what about those emails? What about Hillary's emails?
Yeah.
What about what Obama has done? And it's like, well, we can have that conversation, certainly.
Right.
But it's not really going to take away my hatred of Trump. You know, like just saying that, you know, hey, Obama bombed people too. Yes, absolutely.
We were against that then.
We were, and we still are.
Yeah.
We're ready to have that conversation.
And if Obama is still bombing people, let me tell you something.
From his bunker down the street from the
White
House?
Let me tell you something, Obama. You better stop bombing those people.
Yeah, because you're just a citizen now. You shouldn't be bombing people.
He's a citizen, but he's still got bombs.
He's got the command bunker.
Did you know that when you...
He's got the George Soros-funded command bunker.
If you make it through two terms as president, they give you 10 free bombs.
That's, I think...
You can pick when and where you want to use them. That's just a fact.
I think that's a good system.
I think so, too.
Absolutely.
I think that's a nice reward. That's a golden parachute, but, you know,
but
it's
also
a bomb.
It's also kind of like, you know, methadone treatment. You got to wean someone off. You can't just have them come down... From the
how can you just go from bombing to not bombing?
Exactly, you need a transition.
Yeah. Got to wind down the bombs.
Anyway, this is the clip where he's whatabouting.
Now that said, Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly are doing the same garbage that Democrats in Hollywood are even more famous for. But they're getting child actors, girls and boys, to have sex with them. That's all come out over and over again, and that all gets covered up. So all I'm saying is.
Hey, at least they were
adults. Let's prosecute Edward Snowden for breaking the law, leaking secret documents. After you prosecute our own government and all these corporations for doing things 10,000 times literally worse.
I agree.
And then you'll never get around to Snowden because he was actually exposing criminal activity.
I agree.
So maybe he shouldn't be charged. The point is, letter of the law, spirit of the law. You can't be violating the letter and the spirit many, many times worse than somebody else and then have the very same system sit in judgment.
See, now that's why you shouldn't have said...
See, that's not how the law works.
But also, you shouldn't have said you agreed, because, first of all, that's a clunky analogy, the Snowden
example.
Well,
yeah, that's why I agree with it.
But the second...
Because he didn't know what he was trying to say.
No, and I don't think he understands what the difference between the letter and the spirit of the law is. I think he's just using terms he's heard before. You know, like...
Yeah, I like that idea, like... You can't violate both the letter and the spirit. You gotta pick one.
Well, the letter of the law is, you know, a literal interpretation of things. Like, a kid steals a piece of gum from the store, you lock him up.
Yes.
That sort of thing. And the spirit of the law is, you know, figuring out what the laws are made for.
Yes.
What kind of behaviors they are there to create in the population, behaviors that you'd like to see, things you'd not like to see, and then applying your legal strategy to enforce those things. When you realize that locking up a kid for stealing a piece of gum or something like that is going to derail their life and it's going to create more issues,
and
the spirit of the law would say, no, let that kid go with
right.
a warning.
Well, because that's not why the law is there.
Right.
The law isn't there to protect your 45-cent piece of gum.
Mm-mm.
Is that how much gum costs?
I don't know. I'm out of the gum game.
Are you, look, you're 33. Tell me about it. What it was like when you were younger.
Back when I was a boy, you go down to the corner store, you get a piece of gum and a cup of coffee for a nickel.
Yeah.
You get
gum and a coffee, please.
Get a sarsaparilla. You go down there.
Get a phosphate.
Sure. Oh, there's this place in Missouri. Who cares? Anyway. There was a place called Arrow Rock that was like a fake old-timey community that they'd take students to on field trips and stuff like that.
Okay.
And it sticks out in my mind because they had an old-time general store. And you could buy like really old candy. Not like stale.
No, it's clearly been there since the 40s.
Old-fashioned types of candy. And it was crazy. When I was like 10, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. It's a specialty candy store.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But listen. My point is, Alex does not understand what he's talking about.
No.
And I, like I said before we played that clip, yeah, I mean, there is a problem with abuse of children in Hollywood, clearly. I mean,
yeah.
There are stories that keep coming out.
We've had plenty of those stories, and they should be prosecuted.
And there's lives that have been ruined. The Coreys, for example, they're just over and over again, you see it. And yeah, we're willing to have that conversation. We're listening.
Yeah.
We're hip.
We would very much like them to be prosecuted as well. But just because they're not being prosecuted does not mean that Bill O'Reilly then does it. There's not like a waiting list on top-down crimes, obviously, because we're apparently going from the bottom up. Let's get as many poor people as fucking possible.
Well,
thank God we finally got Bill O'Reilly out of there. I just wish he would fucking go to jail, because this is fucking insane!
Well, Alex Jones seems to do this thing where he's like, if every problem isn't solved, why are we solving one? And that is sort of a really bad way to go about life. You can't get anything done like that.
No, it's a defeatist argument.
People in productivity circles would explain to you that you have to have actionable goals, and you have to set plans that you can actually build towards. If you just say, oh, we got to solve everything, you're just going to be overwhelmed by the task in front of you, and you're never going to get even the first smallest thing done, which is get Bill O'Reilly fucking fired from Fox News so he can't hurt more people.
Yeah.
So it's really frustrating because, I mean, on the one level, he's dumb, but on the other level, he's actually advocating things that are like just bad. And then on beyond that, just not, they're not good ways to live. It's just unwise. Set goals and work towards them. Little steps.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. Anyway, here's the clip where he starts to get into the conspiracy angle, and it's dumb.
So this is a part of a purge at Fox by Rupert Murdoch's sons that are admittedly saying this in the news. I was the first to break it during the RNC because I went to the Ritz-Carlton in Cleveland and met for several hours with some of the top Fox people and got the intel, and it all bore out to be true.
They offered
that there was a coup
dollars.
In Fox. Megyn Kelly was meant to kind of be the flipping of them from conservative Americana, at least light, or what they posed to be, the synthetic version that they used to control the conservative movement, into a whole leftist kind of globalist, conservatoid synthetic system, even more than what it had been. So a true counterfeit. To lead the conservative movement, the libertarian movement, the nationalist movement, into a true rat hole.
So this goes back to our third episode.
Conservatoid.
That's a dumb non-word, but hear me out on this. This goes back to our third episode.
Oh, yeah?
The Secret of 2017.
That's right! What is it?
We still don't
know. What we know now is the Secret of 2017 is a lot of people are going to lose their jobs.
Well, the Secret of 2017 was Alex crying about wanting to live in a farmhouse and all this shit and Megyn Kelly is awful. That was the Secret of 2017. Alex can't possibly have known how the first 4 months of this year were going to shake out.
No.
I saw someone, I don't remember, maybe it was, I think it might have been like W. Kamau Bell. Someone tweeted a list of people whose year is not going how they expected.
Yeah.
And one of them was Alex Jones. I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
He did not see this shit coming.
No.
And
he missed the Secret of 2017.
For someone who has so many high level fake sources and what have you, if they were real, you would think he would see any of these blows coming before they happened. And he hasn't.
He has not seen
but
a one.
I think it's appropriate now for us to revisit a clip that we played in the Secret of 2017 episode because it's relevant to what he's talking about. But beyond that, before we do, he was saying there that Megyn Kelly is a part of this purge of patriot values and stuff like that.
Yes.
And it's worth noting that Megyn Kelly did do an interview this week where she talked about Bill O'Reilly was part of the reason that she left Fox News.
Yeah.
And so was Roger Ailes. There right. was a toxic environment that you can't work in if you're a woman.
How much money have they paid out? And just to keep him on the air.
Well, he does draw huge ratings with these old people, so that kind of makes sense from a business standpoint. But it's the same thing with Joe Arpaio. Like, how the fuck did he stay sheriff when he's getting sued for millions of dollars over and over and over
and
again?
And how the fuck has he not been in jail for the rest of his life?
I think that at this point it's becoming a thing where he's like 80-something years old and he's going to die.
I don't care. I want him in jail. I want George W. to still be prosecuted for war crimes.
I want him at the Hague.
I think he should be one of the Nazi like he's a Nuremberg trial level monster. And I hope he gets fucking...
And just so we're fair, if we're being like real with it, Obama and Bill Clinton should too.
Absolutely.
Pretty much all of our presidents should be tried as
pretty
war
much.
Criminals.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that has been done.
And
that
Andrew
is not
Jackson,
okay.
Andrew Jackson should be revived, killed,
mm-hmm.
revived, and then hung.
Right. Instead of having a picture of him put into the White House.
No.
Into the Oval Office.
No, that's not where it should be.
So, in memory of the fact that he's talking.
Yeah, we have a genocider's picture in the White House.
It's crazy. But
we celebrate.
It would be like if Merkel
genocider.
Had Hitler's picture up in the. Yeah
that's fucking insane.
It's absolutely
What's
unacceptable.
What's wrong with America?
I don't know.
Trump is president.
We're all going crazy. So, in
make America genocide again. Make America genocide again.
That's so close to Amerageddon,
really,
Alex Jones's movie.
There we go.
Speaking of which, if everybody donates to the Patreon, I've said this publicly, and I don't know if I said it on the show, we will record at least one audio commentary for one of Alex Jones's movies.
Okay.
We will do that. I'm willing to do it.
We're gonna do a full MST3K, huh?
Yep, we will do that.
Now that we have more interest in Alex Jones and a new series of MST3K,
sure.
We're gonna fucking ride the wave on both. That's what we're doing.
We're gonna make a Chicago public TV show where we're in space and we have some robot friends and we just watch Alex Jones. I don't think we could afford that.
No.
But anyway, please donate. We'll expand content and all that stuff. I feel like I'm saying that too much. But
you've said it many times.
But in different contexts.
Yeah.
Because now I'm saying we'll make these movie who cares? Look, fuck off. Fuck off to you. But mostly, I was saying it to myself. Anyway.
Yeah.
In honor of this bringing back up Megyn Kelly, I want to replay this clip because it's horrible. And it's fun now in the context that we know that part of the reason that she left was the sexual harassment environment and people are going down for it. And this is how Alex Jones, back at the beginning of 2017, in his video, The Secret of 2017, spoke about Megyn Kelly.
Huge things are happening right now. And you look at these tarts, it's not that she's a woman.
Ugh.
Some of the smart people I know are women.
Tart.
But you have the archetype of the dumb guy, the dumb woman. I mean, Megyn Kelly is the dumb blonde cheerleader who looked okay 10 years ago on Fox. Now just looks like an ugly witch.
I forgot about how awful he is.
And she reportedly told friends, oh, I'm ugly. I'm old now. I better join the liberals. She's wanting to go jump
I remember
onto some
that
failed ship because she feels rejected after buying into the mainstream media's lie that Donald Trump was this evil guy. This is just her thinking, oh, my God, I'm hated at Fox. I'm hated by the viewers now. Let me go to NBC. Because those failures, those vampires are ready to get whoever they can swindle into joining them.
And now that we know that his code is vampire means pedophile, you know, he's saying that everyone at NBC is pedophiles, but that's neither here nor there. She left because of a horrible chauvinistic environment that she was working in, and Alex Jones's response is to critique her attractiveness and insist that she's told friends that she thinks she's ugly.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
No, that makes perfect sense.
This is horrible.
That's how that's the only reason women do things, right?
This is inexcusable levels of ugly manliness. You know, ugly maleness. Yeah. It's so disgusting.
No, fuck men.
Yeah.
Like I've said this before. All men should just be, we have genetic research. We can clone. We can, steal a bunch of sperm and then get rid of us. And then you'll be fine. Hey, you'll be fucking fine.
Ladies.
You don't need us.
You don't even have to steal that sperm. I got plenty.
Just raid the sperm banks. Just fucking tear them down.
If there's one thing I know about men, it's that they're not so thrilled to hold on to their sperm.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
that's how you get rid of us, right? Mm-hmm. You trick us into rubbing one out,
yep.
And then straight into the guillotine.
Uh-huh.
That's how it goes.
Absolutely. Okay.
I'm not saying this is a great plan.
No.
I'm just blue sky thinking. I'm just throwing ideas at the wall. How do you want to kill all men? It's up to you.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own preference.
Sure. So this next clip, is kind of indicative of how at this point it's not really clear what he thinks about the Bill O'Reilly situation. He has acknowledged that he's a sexual harassing person.
Right.
But he's also said that Hollywood and the Democrats, like all of Hollywood is Democrats.
Yeah.
Whatever. He says that they're worse. And then actually what's going on is it wasn't so much about the fact that he sexually harassed people. It's that he was a patriot and there was a purge going on.
Yes.
So it's so unclear.
One day a year at Fox News for 12 hours, they just fucking get rid of old white people.
They just run around.
All day.
They run around with oranges and socks and you'll get to hit the patriots with them.
And that includes the football team too, if they're there.
Sure.
They may be there, they may not be there, mm-hmm. Who knows. Tom Brady hangs out at Fox News, I assume.
Yep. I would also assume that. But anyway, here's a clip that I want to say two things that I haven't pointed out. This is straight through again. I didn't edit anything out. These clips are just segments.
The entire thing that's just chopped
into special report, this is the entire thing of it. I'm not taking anything out. And then secondarily, we haven't even addressed the fact that he's recording this as he drives to court. This is in his car.
This is what he thinks about on the way to court.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, wait, I have to go defend my right to have my kids. I gotta fucking talk about Bill O'Reilly for 15 minutes.
Somebody needs to make sure that everybody knows Bill O'Reilly is not that bad.
If that's even his point. I don't know.
No.
I don't even know.
Has he even actually said that what Bill O'Reilly did was bad?
He has said that, I think it's...
Like, is he putting it somewhere in, like, medium atrocity? Is that what he's doing right there?
I think that he thinks that all he did was try and use his position to get women to have sex with him.
Right.
As opposed to
which
what he...
Which is a crime.
Right. I mean, that's bad enough on its own.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Alex is dealing with the fact that some women probably were cornered and groped. I think that those are things that,
most likely happened.
Yeah. And even if not, he used demeaning language and sexualized professional women, called that one lady hot chocolate, that black lady that worked at Fox.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just like, he's minimizing for sure, but I think he's still implying that his behavior was bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, this next clip is just like
if you're because they've paid out like $25 million in some $20 million in like sexual harassment claims.
Yeah,
right.
He got $25 million.
Right. And Roger Ailes got some huge number too. Like they paid Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly more to leave than they paid the women that were sexually harassed.
Now that sounds bad.
But, yeah,
but the
it's in their contract. Like, there's not much that they can do about it at this point.
Although,
if you're writing a contract, why do you have the if we fire you for all of your crimes, here's your money?
Well, again,
there.
It comes back to them being really marketable stars.
Yeah,
like Roger Ailes was a good executive in terms of getting high ratings.
Right,
and Bill O'Reilly was a draw, so you get to dictate your contract.
If
in a lot of ways,
I am settling a lawsuit with Bill O'Reilly and Fox News.
Uh-huh.
I want one clause in there that I get to kick Bill O'Reilly in the balls one time.
Just right.
Just one time.
A running kick?
I'll take your $2 million as long as I get to put a toe right through his balls.
Do you get a running start, or is it a stationary kick?
No, it is a stationary kick.
Okay.
But.
That's bad negotiating.
But you get to use golf shoes.
Okay.
So however it is you want to go.
All right. So anyway, this clip is Alex not really knowing what side he should take. And it's bizarre.
But Fox threw everything it had at Trump. Megan threw everything she had at Trump. It failed. So she left NBC. Ailes still stepped down because clearly he'd done some things that were wrong and bad. I'm not defending him. People say, oh, you're being nice to Fox because you wanted a job from Roger Ailes. I was offered shows on Fox, okay?
I'll
get to that in a minute. But expanding on that, they can take them out. They can take Brudge out. They can take me out. They can then shut down all free speech. And that's why you see InfoWars with the total distortions of the media, even more than Bill O'Reilly pretty much last week, being demonized and attacked with a bunch of twisted, made-up garbage, is because they know I basically represent our incredible audience of patriots who understand globalism, understand it's unelected, understand it's authoritarian, and are educating others. So it's our ideology of freedom and free market that is so frightening to the globalists that they've got to take us down. If they can bring down Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes, who did have Achilles heels and quite frankly did deserve it at a certain level, they can bring everybody
That's
down.
That's how you fucking put it. The Achilles heel of a patriot is his toxic masculinity that causes him to sexually harass people and commit crimes. Right. That is their Achilles heel.
Right, right.
That's our one way of taking those guys down. They're invincible to all their racism and their fucking lies and their bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you finally fucking shoot that arrow into their sexual harassment, mm-hmm. and boom, you got him. You got him.
But that's why they have to fight against feminists and the PC culture, is because if you know, all of those people would go away, then that Achilles heel would never be attacked.
I love his fucking argument that if they can take down those guys,
right.
admittedly, crime committers.
Right.
If they can take down those crime committers.
Again, Achilles heel.
Yeah. Then, hey, they can come after Drudge.
Free speech.
Which is basically saying, like, hey, Drudge fucking sexually harasses people too.
it's cool, though.
Once you get one of us, it turns out we're all doing it.
And you know what the other problem is? He's acting like it sets a precedent. My man, the precedent already exists. You can't sexually harass people.
It's called the law.
Yeah.
Now, the precedent was written in... Now, admittedly, it's probably not as old as we would like it to be.
Or as solid.
Yeah, I bet the sexual harassment laws didn't even exist until like 30 years ago.
Now, there's a couple of other issues that are really murky in this clip, and I think you nailed some of them. One is that he's really, really dumb to tie himself to this.
Like,
because
really
the issue is that Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes legitimately and literally committed crimes.
Mm-hmm.
But he thinks that it's all trumped up and it's the globalists going after them.
So I don't think, here's my take on that. And I know you got more to say and you're going to kick ass at
it. I'm putting my hand.
I love you.
Fill your hand.
I know. My take on that is he does think it's a crime.
Yeah.
But he thinks that the timing is the globalists coming after them.
Well, but that's stupid because Bill O'Reilly's gotten in trouble in the past before.
Yeah.
That audio came out of him like talking about a lady in a falafel.
Right. But nothing happened then.
It's
very much Cosby to me.
No.
Everybody fucking knew the shit that was going on, and until it finally got out to people.
Well, no, that is absolutely true. The issue is that in the past, what had happened was sponsors weren't willing to pull out, and, you know, it got to a point where they could no longer argue that, like, hey, we can get tied in with this.
Yeah.
And then you saw it as it happened in real time. Sponsors just kept falling off, and he ended up ending his show, like, 15 minutes early one day because they just had no content to fill it and no ads.
No shit.
Yeah, so they just went to Shepard Smith live in
That's
the
fucking
other
hilarious.
Studio. Yeah, it's crazy. But like, that is why. It's because of the advertisers. There's nothing
to do. Oh, absolutely.
No.
Sexual harassment is fine as long as people keep paying you.
Which is tragic. I agree that's tragic.
Yeah.
But again, Alex should not be tying in his fate to this, because what's going on is a crime is being punished. It's not free speech being shat upon,
right.
or anything like that. And if he ties himself in with this, unfortunately, the metaphor and the analogy is that what he is on trial for is a crime. And it's not. It's a custody suit. It's...
And the more he releases videos like this defending sexual harassment,
or
then we start turning into him losing custody and becoming a crime.
It almost seems like he subconsciously wants to lose custody.
Oh, man. That's a whole big can of worms that I don't know if we
can. Let's not.
That one, I don't even know if I'm willing to jump into that.
But he's also sort of by proxy arguing that, like that you're saying, the timing of this Bill O'Reilly thing is fucked, and the timing of this custody suit is intentional, and that people are trying to destroy him. And
even though, again, it's been going on for 3 years.
Yeah. And no one's trying to I think that some people are probably trying to destroy him, which I actually think is kind of bad. But, like, I mean, or we're kind of trying to destroy him, too. I don't know. This is very murky territory.
The secret of 2017 is, who's trying to destroy Alex Jones?
Who knows?
Is it the globalists, or is it just common reality?
This is one of these, again, it's like an Agatha Christie novel. Everyone did it. Everyone is trying to destroy Alex Jones.
Yes. Murder on the Alex Jones Express.
So this next clip, Alex spouts some juicy Islamophobia.
Okay.
He says some really dumb stuff.
How does he get to Islamophobia from here?
Watch and take notes.
There's no way you can transition.
You know
like
how
that.
I'm the king of transitions?
You are the king of transitions.
I bow down to Alex.
Oh, sweet
in
Jesus.
This clip.
But you got to understand, the motive for bringing Ailes and Bill O'Reilly down was not the motive of actually loving women or caring about women. Our own leftist governments back radical jihads, women being sold in Libya after a failed state was created by Hillary, by the tens of thousands, ISIS selling thousands of little girls into sex slavery, some of them raped to death. This is all documented, but it's buried in the back of the newspaper, never mentioned on mainstream TV. Jihad attacks happen almost every day now. I mean, we just had another one yesterday, another one today. It's becoming just unbelievable.
That's two and days. That's all the days.
What happened in Sweden? Nothing happened in Sweden. So police officers getting killed, people getting run over every week by cars, getting stabbed, getting shot, getting bombed. Whether it's in England or whether it's in France or whether it's in Sweden or whether it's in Belgium or whether it just goes on and on and on.
Underpants.
And they just shut that all down. And that's a big leftist Achilles heel, so they double down and say, no, feminism endorses Islam. Let's put hijabs on. That's their response. It's just quadruple down. But getting back to Bill O'Reilly here briefly, because it's so important.
Is the feminist slogan like, let's bring those coal hijabs back to Pennsylvania? Is that what we're talking about? What's going on here?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I love that it's so, like, that part
clean
is
coal hijabs. Sorry about that.
Yeah, which is a myth again. Yeah. the idea, like, this whole thing is like the feminists love Islam and they put hijabs on their head. It comes out almost like a Dennis Miller sentence. Like, it's so bizarre. Like, all right, man. All right. I look, I know that there are terrorist events that are happening, and we're not denying that.
No, and you know what? In a certain, there are things that he is correct about.
Right.
Now, it is not a leftist thing, but our government and CIA and all of those fuckheads have backed many, many terrorist organizations. They've done all of this shit. Like, the whole Iran thing is us.
Yeah.
Like, it's our fault.
But now, let's take a step back and
as is ISIS. ISIS is our fault.
Sure, but let's address where the lie is in Alex's truth. Because these things are true. But the lie comes from the fact that he's implying that the left parts of the government, the leftist governments,
are the ones who are doing it.
He's even saying that, like, George W. Bush would be included in that. Because when he's saying leftist, he really means, like, globalist.
Anybody who's not him.
Not patriots.
Yeah.
But he's saying that, or at least the implication is that they're backing these terror groups for their terrorism, for their selling children into slavery, and these sorts of things. When in reality, oftentimes, it's proxy wars that don't go well.
Yeah.
And you need somebody to fight as opposed to us, because if we fought there, it would trigger World War III.
Right.
So you have,
even though everybody knows that it's global politics is fucking stupid.
It's insane.
Everyone's children.
And we're not for it.
No.
But it's not what Alex is describing.
Definitely not.
So
also, and then again, he does that same thing that he did before, where he's saying, you know, it's not that they care about women. It is that, you know, it's time to get him out of here, which has that same ring of, well, because they don't solve all women trafficking, then it doesn't, you know, then they don't care about the certain problem that 100%. They're experiencing.
Yeah. It's
so just because you don't solve everything doesn't mean you can't solve one thing.
Right. And the, you know, I'm not a foreign policy and war historian or anything like that, but I know that at least to some extent, backing groups that have turned bad in the future.
Yeah.
Did help in the present.
Yeah.
Like there were strategic goals that we were trying to achieve, and we achieved them with the help of, say, Al-Qaeda back when they were against the Russians.
Right.
You know, those sorts of things. They turned out terribly, but in the immediate...
9/11. they did turn out terribly. That was a bad move on our part.
But in the immediate, it helped.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is sort of just a...
Same with Iran. In the immediate, we got that oil. Mm-hmm. Love that oil.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the rest of it.
Yeah. And that doesn't make it right.
It makes it super bad.
But it makes it far more complicated than Alex is pitching it.
Right.
And then further...
Or the fucking banana republics. Anyways, America's not the good guy.
But further, it's so bizarre to, like... Bill O'Reilly did sexually harass people. And then...
At least.
To deflect to this is very weird. Like, it's such a tangential thought. It's mental illness, legitimately. We're seeing demonstrated. It's an inability to track thoughts A to B to C, basically. He's like,
well, his internal logic is, get back on the subject I want to talk about.
Which in this case apparently is
Islamophobia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So any, and this is another one of those things that we've talked about is those waystones. Like,
sure.
Anytime he gets into an area where he doesn't know quite what's his narrative, what's his
what
full
angle. What
would
Alex Jones say?
Exactly. Yes! Yes, Alex Jones asks himself that all the time.
At certain points, he's sort of lost track of persona.
Yeah. So he goes back to those, like, little spots that give him that recharge, and then he's going to jump back into Bill O'Reilly.
That is actually true, because that clip
that clip ended with him saying, let me get back to Bill O'Reilly. Like, that's the thing where it gives him that kind of up and down on those peaks there,
mm-hmm.
where he can talk about that stuff. That his listeners, if he really just said, hey, we don't like Bill O'Reilly because he sexually harasses people, inexplicably, he's going to get angry people.
Sure, sure. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
going to get people who are like, no, Bill O'Reilly should be allowed to sexually harass people.
Which, by the way,
sexual harassment is just a free speech issue, or it doesn't exist. That's what his listeners really believe.
Or it's women being petty.
Yes, y'all, fuck them.
But anyway, we can make our position very clear.
Yeah.
We hate Bill O'Reilly for his rhetoric.
Yeah,
but more for his behavior.
Forever, fucking yeah.
And
no, he's a monster.
He got fired.
He's a true monster.
The only negative in this story is that he's not being prosecuted, and second, that he got millions of dollars.
Yeah,
but again, we understand contract issues. It's not like some
capitalism is bullshit.
Basically,
so that is how he can talk about that, which allows him to address what people think he's supposed to address.
Mm-hmm.
And then in order to kind of avoid actually taking any position right there, he switches back into Islamophobia. So, I mean, if you are taking him at his own assessment of his viewers' intelligence, I'm assuming that means they think he agrees with whatever it is they agree with on Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, that's a good summation of it.
It's either mental illness, it's cunning, or it's a combination of both, or it's just a coincidence that he's a lunatic and people believe him.
I think he's been playing the role essentially of a cornered animal for like 20 years, and that's where he shines.
That's true.
And
on the defense.
Yeah, and so now he's back on it. And
right. Now he's back in familiar territory.
So this next clip, he explains what Bill O'Reilly's biggest mistake was. And let me say this. It's not what you think.
Could it be?
It's not sexual harassment.
That he never got a toupee. He could have at least tried hair plugs.
It's not that. It's not that.
All right.
But getting back to Bill O'Reilly here briefly, because it's so important.
Yes.
Bill O'Reilly.
Here we go.
His biggest mistake, because he sold out to the system. He was quasi against Trump.
That wasn't his biggest mistake.
He was conservative light. He was completely, basically, again, there to be controlled opposition. But now he's got to be taken down as a sacrificial lamb and as a victory for the left that they're openly destroying any vestige of independent media.
Yeah, Fox News
could oppose the globalist
media.
Program.
Yeah.
Fox News, the most independent of media.
Yeah, that argument is
Fox News, the wing of the Republican Party. Absolutely, independent media.
Yeah. And this may be a good time for us to address this a little bit too. And that, like, we have a slight bit of agreement with Alex that most of the mainstream media is bullshit.
Yep.
You know, like, it's fine to believe that and not agree with him. You know, like, I don't think necessarily that CNN does a good job. I don't think Fox News does a great job. They actually have better journalistic standards, so they have a better batting average, certainly, than a dumb blog or InfoWars. But they aren't, like, they're not holy to us.
Nah.
There's no reason.
Fuck them.
There's no reason to implicitly trust something just because it came out on CNN.
And it, with the level of betrayal that they have, like, one of the things that I refuse to ever forgive them for is by, adjusting themselves to make everything a horse race, they gave Trump so many billions of dollars of free advertising.
Yep.
And they spent so much time tearing Hillary down in order to make it a horse race.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets them ratings. Yep. Is everybody's, it's closer than you think. Who knows who's ahead in the polls this day? And so by doing that, by giving him so much attention because he's a great entertainer, then fucking, they were absolutely complicit in his win.
Yeah, totally.
They fucking cheered for the Iraq war. The
real talk, they did more to get Trump elected than Alex. Even though Alex thinks that he's the main reason that Trump got elected.
Absolutely they did.
And the other thing, when you're talking about the Iraq war and now,
well, and now the fucking
Syria
bombs. Yeah.
And Afghanistan. The other problem is that a lot of the mainstream media, and Alex is guilty of this too, are essentially engaged in a game of war profiteering.
Yeah.
You know, where they make bigger ratings and make more money off of tricking people into thinking that, I mean, we do think that the world is about to end, but they also make money off of that.
Right.
We just privately are afraid that that's the case.
Yes. Yes, we fear for lives, not for bottom lines.
So this next clip, Alex, again, is refuting what his lawyers have made the argument that he's a performance artist and he's playing a character. Again, he's saying these things that he probably shouldn't be saying publicly. He wants to make the point that he is super fucking real, and he juxtaposes that to a list of characters he's played, which is delightful.
Oh, God,
and
yes.
Then he gets into a Scanner Darkly a little bit. Because he was,
okay. Sure.
He was in that movie.
Keanu Reeves.
He does give a shout out to Keanu.
Of course.
Reeves. But he gets into that a little bit, and I have some intense thoughts about it that we'll get to when we come back.
And that's why they call us fake news. That's why they lie and say that I'm fake when I'm not. They say, do you ever play an actor? Well, yeah, I do skits and things, but that doesn't mean everything I do is an actor. That's individual bases. It's clear when I do it. Cobra Commander, The Joker, David Mendelsohn III, you know, a British globalist character I played. I mean, when I play a street preacher in Scanner Darkly with Keanu Reeves, Woody Harrelson, all those people, I mean, that's... I actually took a role where I was playing a part of a patriot in the future dystopia who's being arrested for his free speech. Wow. That was 2006. Here we are in 2017, and now it's almost become reality. Now it's near future. The face scanners, the total surveillance, the grid. I advised on that film. My advisory capacity on that PKD film rendition has basically come true. Government bringing in a drug for the population to become addicted to it, then using the drug war to put you in these basic rehabs, are actually slave warrens, to then reprogram you. And then here we are.
So, first of all, rehabs are slave reprogramming centers.
Obviously.
Certainly not helping people overcome genetic addictions.
No.
But
I like at this point, like every day in trial, they could just show the clip that he made that morning.
Yeah. And it'd be like,
look at this fucking guy.
And then the trial
is on the way here. here.
The trial would go on indefinitely because everyone watching would be like, I got to see what he says tomorrow. This is nuts. This guy's
we have a hung jury yet again, so we're going to do another day, I guess.
This guy's fucking insane. I got to keep watching. So the other thing I want to talk about is Philip K. Dick.
Yes.
First of all, I love Philip K. Dick. I've become a big fan of his in the last few years.
PKD.
Read a lot of his books. And one of the things that's important to recognize is that he was a speed addict. And he basically wrote these books in almost a fugue state.
Yeah.
Where he would just binge on speed and then write these transcripts because he was married and he needed to support his family and he got paid by the word. So a lot of the stuff he wrote was utter garbage.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that sucks, but there's some stuff that's really great. I think there's a parallel to Alex in that.
Okay.
He puts out so much goddamn content. He seems like he's on speed, but it's probably just super male vitality or brain force.
Yes.
These things that have sort of speedy qualities.
Could be speed.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? But the thing that I want to take issue with is that if he wants to make this argument about the government drugging people or introducing these drugs to, you know, pacify or whatever.
Right. Or to destroy the black community.
A Scanner Darkly isn't the best instance that he could go with, and it really shows that he doesn't know Philip K. Dick's catalog.
Mm-mm.
A Scanner Darkly is a good book, and the drug aspect of it is really interesting, but I would have gone with The Three Stigmata of Palmer Eldritch, which is a much better book of his.
Of course. We all know that book.
It's a much better book that has to do with drugs being put in. Basically, there's a drug, Chu-Z, that is like what the entire world is on this drug.
Uh-huh.
And it's because everyone's lives are terrible. The world is, you know, it's miserable. So they take these drugs and they are able to escape into a fantasy world.
Right.
Then this guy brings in a new drug and tries to take over the game. It's very complicated.
Uh-huh.
As all Philip K. Dick books are. They're fucking insane.
Yeah.
But that would be a much better one. Alex, please read The Three Stigmata of Palmer Eldritch.
I would also have gone with Dune. That's a solid addiction book.
It's not PKD, my man.
No, it's not. But, Frank Herbert. I would go with him. He was better than Philip K. Dick.
How dare you? I disagree.
I'll say it again.
But there is an indication throughout Philip K. Dick's work that he's sort of trying to deal with his own drug use through his narratives. Like, there are a lot of drugs that fly throughout his stories. And he's a fascinating guy. I love Philip K. Dick. But Alex is dumb. That's my point.
Well,
I just resent it when there's someone I really like and someone who I really don't like is misrepresenting them, kind of.
I like that he said he advised on the film.
Yeah, right.
He advised on the... Hey, here's what I think.
Hey, Linklater.
Hey, Keanu, I like your style.
I advised...
You know what? Fewer expressions.
I advised on...
And that's when Keanu's career took off.
I advised on this movie that I'm in for 45 seconds.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, like you. No way were you a Philip K. Dick advisor on this movie.
No.
Linklater is a huge Philip K. Dick fan. I'm sure he knows plenty.
Right.
I bet he's read The Three Stigmata of Palmer Eldritch. By the way, it's even like, I know that it sounds like a really obscure title, but it's one of his biggest books.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I've just never heard of it before.
Well, look, you're not a PKD guy.
I am not a PKD guy.
I'm down with PKD. You know me. Anyway, this next clip. We're done with Philip K. Dick stuff.
Okay. I know the sadness in your voice.
I've now lost interest in the rest of the show because we're like, I perked up there for a minute.
All right.
Now I'm just waiting for him to bring up Lovecraft.
I gotcha. Then we're really going.
He did, actually. I forgot. Like, on a past episode, he brought up The Color Out of Space. Anyway, look. This next clip.
Okay.
This next clip is just more about Bill O'Reilly being a sellout. And how Alex would never sell out. Ever.
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 Not once.
No. Then he starts quoting Mark Twain for some reason.
And then here we are. So Bill O'Reilly sold out to the system and got burned by it, which is a lesson to all these folks. There's no honor among thieves.
That 25
but remember
million
this,
really,
the truth always
really
will
him.
Defeat tyranny if people have courage to promote it. That's why Mark Twain said a lie can go halfway around the world before the truth can put its pants on. Another Mark Twain I love to quote. In the beginning, a patriot, scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, attempt to join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And I am a patriot for our republic. I do support it. It's not perfect, but it's better than every other country's system. I want to restore it.
And I want to thank you all for your support and everything you've done in the past to pray for us and to promote our links and our articles. It's a big deal that Cernovich got the documents, and Google had to admit that they were having an army of operatives downvote InfoWars stories to block them. That's only part of a wider spectrum of us being strangled right now, but...
So that's just a lie.
Well, that's closer than delisting. Right. So when we talked about it originally, he was saying they were trying to delist him and get him off the internet.
Off the Google search engine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The fact that he's saying now that it's downvoting is closer to what it really is.
Well, but here's the thing, is that within a day or two, he's already changed the narrative on what this is. And we're seeing in real time how he spins these waypoints that we brought up.
Yeah,
because this has now just become one of his waypoints as opposed to the main story he wants to talk about.
Right.
That's fascinating. But secondarily, I didn't clarify this nearly enough on the last episode when we talked a little bit more about the Google stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that those 10,000 contractors, they don't have the authority to downvote anything or to delist anything. Only Google itself can do that.
Oh, really?
All they can do is fill out reports of what they found on their searches, and then that information is used by Google.
Oh.
So all of this stuff, the idea that there's contracts out to downvote them and delist them, that even on its face isn't true. It can't be true, because those people can't do that.
Huh.
It's very bizarre. But also, I have another Mark Twain quote that I would like that I think is actually more accurate to Alex Jones.
Suck a dick, Alex Jones.
That was from the Frog of Calaveras County.
Yep.
No, this quote is, get your facts first, and then you can distort them as much as you please.
Ah.
That is similar to what Alex does, but he skips that first part about getting his facts.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, the first one he said, the lie traveling halfway around the world before the truth can get its pants on, is like, that's how you have a job, dude.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you have a job, is because a lie is so easy to transfer. It's like a fucking disease.
Which, again, within that same couple of sentences, he gets into the Google stuff, which is that.
100%. Exactly. Yeah. It's the same thing you're seeing now with Louise Mensch and that horrible like fucking witch hunt that she's going on.
Let's not get into that. That's too much. That's a whole other thing.
Mm.
But I mean, Alex, the idea that he's misusing these quotes that he's saying is just so Alex. It's so Alex. It's delightful. It's bizarre. Anyway.
And in fact, that most of those apply to him.
Right.
Directly.
Again, it's that twin.
Yeah.
It's the twin absorbed in the womb theory.
Absorbed twin in the womb, sitting in his ear like Athena, whispering bad things.
So this next clip.
Or good things.
Alex Jones does a bizarre Winston Churchill impression.
Excellent. I could not be more in to hear what Alex Jones's Winston Churchill sounds like.
And then he says some bad things about Bill O'Reilly, but at the same time, he doesn't go far enough. It's very bizarre. Okay. So here we go.
That's only part of a wider spectrum of us being strangled right now, but because of you coming through, we're actually growing, all of us together, towards victory in the face of this. So know this, I'll never surrender. To quote Winston Churchill, I will go on to the end, whatever the cost may be. We shall go on to the end, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight, and we shall never surrender. Well, we will defend our republic. We will defend freedom. We will defend Renaissance. We will defend the right to peaceful religion. We will defend the right to
terrible.
Art, literature, and true culture. And we will defeat the right-wing control freaks, the left-wing control freaks, and all the cults.
Those goals are pretty good, but also I think it was more of a Michael Caine impression that he was doing.
It was a little bit more of a Michael Caine, but it wasn't terrible.
If all Alex was about was defending art and literature and defending expression of religion and these sorts of things, I wouldn't have a problem with him.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what he does.
I would not have a problem with him.
Do you remember earlier in the episode where he was like, and, you know, leftists, they just want to destroy art?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that part?
Well, no, but
he was protecting it.
No, but their version of art is a skull covered in semen.
Diseased semen. Diseased semen. That's my favorite.
A diamond skull covered in diseased semen sold for $50 million. You fucking idiot.
You know, the more I think about it,
the more you want that skull.
I kind of want that skull. I want that skull. I want to see. I just want to, not to be gross. I just want to touch it one time.
Okay.
I just want to see what it feels like.
Probably.
I've never touched diseased semen-covered diamonds before.
That's true.
That seems like a life experience I want to have. You only get one life.
Fair enough.
You only get one life, Dan.
I'm not going to judge you based on your goals.
All I'm saying is I'm not going to not touch it. If somebody brings a diseased diamond-encrusted skull near me, I'm going to be like, hey, can I touch it?
Okay, so in the next calendar year, I'm going to strive to live embodying Sasha Banks' theme song. And you are going to...
I'm going to find a diamond-encrusted skull.
You're going to try and touch the For Love of God sculpture.
Exactly.
Okay. So anyway, here's where he gets...
We have very different goals.
He's going to get into Bill here. He's getting back.
The secret term to take humanity and turn us into a bunch of servile, brain-dead zombies. And the zombie war is here. A lot of the public is dumber than a box of rocks. I don't take solace in that. That scares me. But the elite swim in an ocean of idiots. That's why they want to produce more of them. So Bill O'Reilly, with his hundreds of millions of dollars, can sail off into the sunset. But he's a bully, and he's a thug, and he tried to bring me down.
That seems to be what this is more about. He doesn't give a fuck that he actually was harming women. Like, he doesn't care.
Of course not. Of course not.
He doesn't care that he was creating a threatening and hostile work environment for these women based solely on the fact that they were women that he wanted to fuck. Instead, Alex is mad because he's a petty asshole and Bill O'Reilly tried to take him down, which, again, he played that clip earlier in this episode. We listened to it.
And Bill O'Reilly was not trying to take him down at all.
Was not a takedown.
Uh-uh.
And didn't have anything to do with pedophilia or online predators or anything like that that Alex seems to think it did. What a dum-dum.
Well, admittedly, Bill O'Reilly is a bully.
Yeah.
He is a thug.
Sure.
I don't know what thug means in this context.
I don't know, but if Bill O'Reilly says thug, you know it's racial
thug. Yeah, right? I assume that Alex Jones actually believes Bill O'Reilly's black, right?
No, I think he's using thug in the term of like...
hired hand.
Sure, or like organized crime, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. He's in a system of racketeering. I don't fucking know.
What is he talking about?
Alex is fucking stupid.
Alex is fucking stupid.
But now he gets into some really weird thoughts about Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, great. We get the fucking trifecta of monstrous right-wing propagandists right now.
But he does.
We got Alex talking about Bill, talking about Rush.
But then he cucks out both of them.
And we're not even talking about the band.
Nope.
We're talking about that horrifying monster, Rush Limbaugh.
The man
who first turned your parents against you. That's what Rush Limbaugh really is to me. The man who finally made me acknowledge that my parents are easily influenced by this scaremongering old ugly man.
Yeah.
And I don't mean ugly in a physical appearance way. I mean it as the soul of Rush Limbaugh is tragic.
Well, take some solace in knowing that in this clip, Alex is going to cuck him out pretty good.
Sweet.
And then he's going to lie a bunch.
I love it when the right wing right wings itself.
He's going to lie a bunch about the, audience sizes.
I've seen articles on InfoWars, halfway defending him. People say, well, what's this? You don't like Bill O'Reilly. I don't control all my writers. They've got some good perspectives. He's not all bad. I get the fact it was political targeting. And I get the fact that we're in the same boat, even though I'm not the same type of person as he is. So I understand. They got him. They're
so
coming
for
everybody else.
Know.
Limbaugh's attacked me many times. I've defended him when I tried to take him off the air. I guess he didn't like me or thought he didn't like me because they put me on the same time as him. That was not my decision. But, I mean, all the industry says, the media says, I'm the, quote, heir to Rush Limbaugh. Let me say that in final close.
Who said that?
I already have more listeners and viewers every week than Rush Limbaugh conservatively. He has mainly radio listeners, 20-something million a week. That's huge. Biggest terrestrial show. That it's like George Norrie and Michael Savage and others. Great guys. And then on the internet, he's got a pretty big presence, but InfoWars dwarfs him. The only thing bigger is Drudge, and it's not about who's the biggest, but if I am the biggest thing out there now, because of you, us together, then am I a target? Well, look at the news, and that'll tell you why we're under such attack.
No, you're under attack in the media because you're engaged in a very ugly custody battle that is proving you to be sort of a hypocrite. But Rush Limbaugh has 13.5 million weekly listeners to his show, and that is not the number one show on terrestrial radio. Two shows on NPR, Morning Edition, and All Things Considered, both have over 14 million listeners every week. And right after that is Sean Hannity with 12.5 million a week. He brought up George Norrie. That's Coast to Coast AM. That's only 2.75 million a week. So like his numbers are fucking stupid and way off. Savage Nation is down there at 5.25 million. That's beat by Glenn Beck. He doesn't want to bring that up.
Do you think he gets different numbers? Do you think the people who, here's my guess.
That's a great question.
My guess is there are underlings at InfoWars and they just give him a spreadsheet with a one and then a lot of zeros after it and say, this is how many people listen. And that's that.
Congratulations, Alex.
Yeah.
Possibly. So I found out, I looked into his statistics some more. Because I wanted to know, like, more specifics. Mm-hmm. I found some things that I'm not thrilled about.
Oh, no.
One of the things I learned is that percentage-wise of his audience, Chicago is the biggest city in the world.
Really?
1.22% of his audience is in Chicago.
It's you! How many times do I have to tell you this? How many times do I have to tell you this? It's you! You're the only person listening!
That might be what these stats are. I might be skewing off.
It's you, and then you still have a registration in Austin with your parents. So it's those two.
That might be it. So the other thing that I found is kind of interesting is that Quantcast has a metric called affinity. And this tracks, I'll just read their explanation of what affinity means.
Uh-huh.
This is a comparison of the audience composition of this property, in this case, property means Infowars.com, or audience segment to the, okay, so it's a comparison of the audience composition of Infowars, to the internet's population at large. The higher the affinity number is, the more concentrated the Infowars is in a particular geographic area. For example, if Infowars has an affinity of 10 times, a multiplier of 10 for San Francisco, that means that a given visitor is 10 times more likely to be from San Francisco as any internet user chosen at random.
Okay.
So
I gotcha.
An affinity of 0.5 times means the visitor is half as likely.
Yes.
So I looked at the statistics and when something really jumped up at me, because in the United States, the affinity ranking is 1.98 times.
Okay.
So it's twice as likely as a random internet user to be a United States,
that makes sense.
Yeah. You know what doesn't make sense?
I am guessing that America is not the top one, right?
No.
Who is the top one?
Well, number two is the Cayman Islands, which has a 3 times affinity rating.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
I don't know where the Cayman Islands are.
It's not very big.
Right.
Area. Less important, I think. Than
what is going on with the Cayman Islands?
I don't know. It's a tax shelter for lots of folks.
Right, so maybe the globalists are listening.
No.
That's possible.
But here's, you know who number one is?
Russia?
Syria.
No shit.
Syria has an 8.5 times affinity rating.
I'm guessing that's probably more recent than not.
It's just the current statistics. I'm not sure what time frame this covers.
So it would make sense for the current statistics because Syria is then basically like reading those counter narratives.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on with that because I'm guessing they read all of the Syria wasn't really responsible for all of this shit type thing.
And I would assume that, I mean, I'm not saying that.
I'm guessing that Syria is much more likely to watch RT than in another place like that.
Sure. And, you know, I'm not going to say that Syria is just all rubble everywhere, but the people who have access to reliable internet at this point and or maybe reading news on the internet are not necessarily the random civilians.
They're definitely not the people who are getting their shit bombed right
now. That could just be Assad. So just like I am Chicago,
yep.
That could all be him.
there's 8 people who listen.
Mm-hmm.
7 of the or 6 of them are in the Cayman Islands, and then there's you and Assad.
What's super interesting too is that if you look at the numbers of amount of people who are listening in Syria, it's not very high. Considering, like,
well, of course not.
But compared to other folks.
Yes.
Like, compared to other places, but yet their affinity rating is super high.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. Also, I don't like the term affinity being used for this because that seems to imply that people like it. And that's not necessarily true. I've gone to the website and I don't like it.
Yeah, but that's, you're much more likely to like it than not if you're visiting that website frequently.
Nah, there's tons of websites I've gone to in my life pretty consistently that I don't like.
To hate read?
Sure. Plenty of it.
Fair enough.
Anyway, that's super bizarre. Also, I checked in and the ratings and like traffic to his website in the last week hasn't gone up at all.
No.
So even this Quirked stuff isn't really doing anything. I expected to go there and see a massive spike.
Yeah.
And it's not. I think people are just reading other people's tweets.
Yeah.
That's
well, and I would assume that really it kind of feels like he has reached his saturation. Like he's got everybody he's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
That's what his audience is. The people that are going to be there for him. And he's not going to gain or lose listeners.
No.
He's just right at that point where everybody who would be listening to Alex Jones is listening to Alex Jones.
Also, I just checked our Twitter and we got a hot tip for our next episode.
Oh yeah?
So we'll, check out that. Thanks for the heads up. We'll see if it's what we're going to do, James.
Yeah, just constantly tweet at us live because maybe we're recording.
Why not? Anyway, we're coming towards the end here. And for the rest of this, we get like, you know, he's recording from his car and what have you, but
right.
He's still a fucking businessman.
Is he driving?
He was for a bit of this. Yeah.
Oh boy.
But
that's very dangerous.
I don't know. Cause it's not video. It's just audio.
Okay.
It's just a static picture of Alex on screen while this audio plays. But he's still a fucking businessman, dude.
Yeah.
He's got to get his plugs in.
Got to sell, though. Got to be 30% off.
So
is the Easter sale still on?
It is still on.
It's still on?
Yeah, as of the last I heard.
Wow.
On Friday, they were like, we're going to shut it down tonight.
Yeah.
But this is what scam
I've given
artists,
up his Easter sale for Lent.
This is what scam
is
artists do. They say, like, tomorrow it won't be here. The sale won't be here. And then tomorrow, like, we're stopping it soon. It's this thing called fear of loss of gain.
Yeah.
And it's a trick.
Well, it's the telemarketing. It's the infomercial.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
The sales, like, we're gonna put these are selling too fast. These wooden handled knives, they're just selling too fast. We've gotta put a timer on this.
Well, no.
You've got an hour.
That's the second thing. That
uh-huh.
is artificial scarcity.
Yes.
That is, we're gonna run out of this thing and you're not gonna be able to get it. That motivates some people who are afraid that they're not gonna get the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then fear of loss of gain is what people have when it's like, oh, the sale is gonna stop. And if I don't buy now, I'll have to pay 30% more. And, you know, you come to realize that sale never ends.
No.
It's always a sale, but if you pretend you're going to end it soon, people don't call you on it.
It's like Kohl's.
What do you mean?
I mean,
the bar?
No, Kohl's.
Oh.
Kohl's the store.
Talking about the bar here in Chicago. What?
Are they having an Easter sale?
Probably.
I would hope so.
It's still
it's
going
good bar.
On. Yeah.
No, it's like you go into a clothing store and it's like, hey, these are 50% off, or a mattress store. It's always 30% off.
At every mattress store.
At every mattress store.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen anybody buy a mattress.
They're constantly going out of business.
I've never seen anyone buy a mattress.
The mattress store that's over by the Target here in Chicago has been going out of business for 6 years. It's insane. Yeah. I mean, it's just scams.
Yeah.
It's just a scam. But, you know, Alex, in this first clip, he's doing his plugging. And I would describe this as victim plugging.
He just okay.
acts like a big old victim.
Infowars.com/show. Spread that link. Spread our videos. Spread our articles. Please know that you're having a huge effect. Double down in the face of tyranny. They've jumped the shark. They've really are going
that's
for broke.
A lot
if
of,
they don't get their censorship in place, which they're moving forward with, if we block it, if we expose it, if we have whistleblowers like the Patriots that leaked from Google about Infowars being censored, it'll blow up in their face. And we are the new counterculture. We are the avant-garde. You, just the questioners of the authoritarian system, the pro-free speech people, you're the classical liberals, the paleo-conservatives. And so they've miscalculated.
I don't know what, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about there.
You get the, it's game over, man, to quote Mr. Paxton that just passed last month. Game over! Is it game over for us or them? They've miscalculated. They've miscalculated royale. Royale. So, support us, please. Pray for us. Buy the products. That's how we mainly fund ourselves, as they cut off our advertising like they did with O'Reilly.
That end.
They didn't cut off. Okay.
That end there is also, like, bad, because O'Reilly got his advertisers pulled because they had a crisis of conscience and couldn't support someone who is a sexual harasser and a serial.
Let's not give them credit for having a conscience.
Well, people,
they had a crisis of people were mad at them.
Right, but that prompted a crisis of conscience, whether or not it's sincere or not.
It prompted AIDS.
But by corollary, yeah. Alex Jones being like, they're pulling our sponsors like they pulled his, like, are you saying that you committed a crime? Like, is that what's going, like, what do you think is happening here, Alex? You got Adderall taken away because you violated their terms of service. That's not a crime.
So what he thinks is happening, because a lot of shit has gone spectacularly bad for him.
Totally.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
He has to assume that it is all connected.
Well, it is.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's all connected to him being a propagandist liar.
Yeah. Well, I don't think as much of that bad stuff is...
It's all connected to mistakes he's made for 20 years.
Yes, that's what I would say.
It's the chickens roosting, as
yes.
it were.
They, yeah.
They've come home. And so it is connected in that sense. But Adderall is not connected to his custody hearing, which isn't connected to Google accurately recognizing that Alex Jones is constantly debunked.
Right.
And so not...
Because as we all know, Google accurately recognizing that he's constantly debunked is connected to his hip bone.
Which is connected to the globalist bone.
Exactly.
Which is also like, hey, dude, if you want to say you have journalistic integrity, fire Jerome Corsi. That guy is the worst.
And hang up that goddamn painting!
That's Rappaport. But also, Alex, tell Rappaport to hang up that painting. You know the guy. Also, I actually want to do...
That would be my favorite. If there was that Skype interview where Alex is just like, hey, Rappaport, hang up that fucking painting.
Hey, this is a professional operation. Yeah. Get your shit together, asshole.
Fucking groom your beard, too. You look like shitty Saruman.
I want to do an episode sometime in the future about how it's become very clear to me that John Rappaport, when he does his reports, is using sort of a hypnotic suggestion techniques. He's using the way he speaks is very intentionally like hypnotic. I've noticed a couple things that he does that are like, that is not a mistake. You're doing this on purpose. And if people aren't paying attention, it would be very easy to get lulled into like a, oh yeah, kind of thing.
So really?
That might be coming. I also want to do a special report about how I've realized that Alex Jones' career very closely mirrors that of the rap group Jedi Mind Tricks.
That makes perfect sense.
I've got these in the works.
Only you could possibly make that connection.
I've got these in the works, and if you'd like these to come to fruition, please
donate
to our Patreon.
Say it. Don't say it.
We're in the middle of him
plugging.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know.
That's such... You're committing...
It's my birthday. I can get away with this.
That's true.
One day a year. Anyway.
Just like the Purge.
We got a birthday sale going on over it.
Once again, all visits to our website are 100% off.
I would also like to say that Alex's Easter sale that he was promoting, like his commercial was like, I am going to commit blasphemy against the globalists by having a Christian holiday sale. We're celebrating a Christian holiday.
Nothing says celebrating a Christian holiday more than blatant capitalism.
Yeah, but then also, like, I think he was expecting people to get mad or something like that, but everyone was just like, eh, whatever.
Like the Starbucks,
sure.
cup.
Yeah, he was expecting
Christmas
a war on Christmas coming out of this, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah,
no one
everybody does the war on Easter. Everybody knows this.
Yeah, no one cared. It was so pathetic. Just have your fucking Christian sale. I don't care. No one cares. Do your fucking thing. Sell your bone sauce. Now here.
Bone sauce is red. Never mind.
We had to change it from bone pills to bone sauce to be a little more accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's a powder that you put in water and then you make your bone sauce.
Wow.
And apparently it tastes like chocolate and Millie Weaver is into it.
Really?
Yeah. These are things I've learned.
What?
Millie Weaver likes it because it tastes like chocolate, but she's a squeamish eater and she's like, I don't think I would have wanted to eat bone broth, but hey, it tastes great. It tastes great. Tastes like chocolate. Also, I learned.
Is it just hot chocolate?
Basically. Also, I learned that Rob Dew and Owen Schroyer play basketball together. And then now that Owen Schroyer's 27, his dogs are starting to bark after they play basketball. So he takes some of that bone broth. Everything is cool.
Why are you sharing this information?
I don't know. Because
once again, Once every time we do this show, I live in a worse world. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing to me. You're destroying my views on how, ugh.
Gleefully.
Ugh.
So, this next clip is, I think, a bigger issue.
I drink bone sauce because sometimes my knees hurt after a basketball game.
Thank you, Owen.
Try some bone sauce.
Also, what kind of competition you getting out of Rob Dew out there on the court? Please. Anyway, this next clip, Alex Jones is on real thin ice. Real thin ice with this plug. Because he is referencing somebody that just don't talk about these people publicly at this point.
No.
It's not his ex-wife or anything like, or his kids, but it is like, dude, chill.
Okay.
Chill out.
All right. Is it Michael Jackson's doctor?
Hey, you know what? Michael Jackson died because he had too many vaccines.
Yeah.
That's what his doctor told me.
Connie was a good man. So here we go.
Please support us. Infowarsstore.com. A lot of big specials, new specials out today, I'm told. Incredible products. I was just talking to my lawyer the other day, Randall Wilhite, one of the top guys in Texas. And he said, listen, I've been to the, he gave me permission to say this, by the way, I didn't mean to do this plug, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. He said, I've been to the, you know, UT sleep specialist, also, you know, UT professor. I've been to everybody. I can't sleep for years. It's incredible. I'm a workaholic. I don't even drink coffee because I just, it might make me not sleep. He goes, I took your knockout formula. And he said, I've done everything, tested the drugs, you name it. None of it worked. And he said, it absolutely reset my brain. He looks like he's 10 years younger, literally. And he said, this totally changed my world. Why is it so much better than when I just bought melatonin at the store? And I said, I figured if we just took melatonin, L-tryptophan, valerian, root and all these other key things that are known as natural and healthy and organic sources of this that have been known for thousands of years to aid in sleep, lemon balm, chamomile, all of it together, at the normal safe dosages of each one, all supercharged together,
all into one
that would be absolutely explosive and would give people amazing sleep. And he said, yeah, it's changed my life. I want to come on air and endorse it. So
no,
I'm talking knockouts, 1995. Ladies and gentlemen, it should be $50. One bottle of melatonin of the same strength is $19.95. We have the same dose in there, and then everything else you need, and it's all organic with absolutely no fillers. Just to understand that that's why we're such game changers. We do the research. We do the research to bring you the products that nobody else will do with the top scientists, you name it, top producers. Personally, I came up with a knockout and then worked with others to, you know, pick the best sources. But I'm really, really proud of it. It was just some little side issue that I thought, sometimes I mix valerian with melatonin, it really works good together. I said, what if we add everything together? I checked with the experts to make sure none of it interacted wrong, and they were just like, oh my God, still consult your physician. Knockout available at InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com. Changing people's lives, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't bring up your lawyer.
He said his lawyer loves his herbal bullshit.
Uh-huh.
His fucking cauldron with every witch, like worm root and fucking all of these different random shit that he just boiled in there and fucking stirred it around and was like, this shit is amazing.
Let me do my impression of his lawyer, how I think it went. Oh yeah, I've tried. That's great. Trying to just avoid the question, I imagine. Also, just don't fucking bring up your lawyer. Don't do it. When you're
also
in the middle of a sales pitch, don't do it. Don't do it. You're on thin ice right now.
Also, it would have been awesome to find out that his lawyer was in the car with him the whole time. That would have been amazing. And then his lawyer just comes in like, hey, he's right. I tried this knockout shit. Anyways, we got to get to the court.
Or the flip side of it, the lawyer is in the car. He's like, dude, what are you doing? So I pulled up the ingredient list in Knockout. And it's no different than, I'm a guy who has some sleep troubles.
Uh-huh.
And so I've explored a lot of products, that you can get at any fucking Walgreens.
Have you tried Knockout?
I haven't, cause I'll never give him any money. But like, it has no different ingredients really than most, over the counter, you know, herbal sleep remedies. And, they're not $50.
What are they?
They're, about maybe 10.
About the same.
About, no, maybe half.
Oh, half of what he's charging.
Well, also the list price is $30.
But again,
it's discounted
off.
Down.
Yep.
10. His thing is actually more expensive than anything, like a lot of the stuff that I've seen at, places. So
well,
anyway.
Yeah, but he's sourced these himself. He had the brilliant idea of what if I threw a bunch of shit together.
Uh-huh.
Is it a pill?
Yeah.
Okay. So what if...
It's not bone broth.
What if I grind up a bunch of bone broth and put it into a pill?
Mm-hmm.
That'll work.
Sure.
Now I got to work with people to find all of these ingredients, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is he just buys other people's pills, opens them up, puts different shit in there.
Well, as we know, he's already copped to the fact that his super blue toothpaste is just Tom's of Maine toothpaste with a couple ingredients added.
Yeah, with iodine.
He does this.
It's the iodine. That's what does it.
Private labeling stuff. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if this was just some, you know, nature's best or whatever.
That's a thing that happens all the time. People do
absolutely.
The private labeling.
And I mean, that's how you get those generic brands at like, of NyQuil and stuff like that. It's essentially the same things. But
it just doesn't have the same,
doesn't have the brand name.
Yeah, exactly.
And often has like some of the like flavory things taken away. But anyway,
it is insane that the placebo effect does work to the point where you think brand names work better.
Happens to me every time
than
I'm in the store.
Exact same shit.
Every single time. I'm not getting this bullshit.
No,
I'm getting the real one.
It's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same fucking shit, but your brain goes, well, this is obviously better.
Human brains are intensely stupid.
Yes.
That's what we're learning. Yeah. Anyway, we have one more clip.
Okay.
And this is his outro. And it gets...
He's turned off his car.
He's parked.
He's got the turn signal off.
I don't know why he had to make sure that this video, that this audio that he was sending in is as long as his drive. I don't know why that's the case.
It's a long drive.
Yeah. So, you know, his drive is over. He's gotten to court and he gets into, I would say that this, dismount is clunky. And
okay.
Very God heavy.
Naturally.
So here we go.
Back to Paul Joseph Watson and our amazing crew in Austin, Texas. Please pray for us. We have never been under a more serious attack. And that is because we are the tip of the spear. We're having an amazing, amazing effect. We're backed by the people. That's the globalist Achilles heel. We're backed by the people. And that's why, even though they took our sponsors over the years, most of them, and harassed them and, you know, shut us off Google ads and you know, did everything to us or ad roll. Despite all of that, we are here thriving and moving forward. So now they've gone to higher levels of persecution, but like Christ said, that, you know, if you love me and follow me and try to be a good loving person and help others, the world will hate you. And so this is a great sign of where we are. Thank you all so much. I humble myself before God, humble myself for my family, the listeners, everybody else, and I just seek God's face. And again, I want to thank the amazing crew there in Austin, everything they do. I just love our crew and I love our listeners. Thank you.
So that's the end of it. If you go by the end of Revelation, he technically just blasphemed.
Okay.
Well, because the final commandment at the end of Revelation is you can't add anything or take away anything from the Bible. And if you have, you've committed a great heresy, which is cool. I mean, that's what you'd want to do if you were building a system like, nope, this is it. Nothing else.
Yeah.
So by paraphrasing the Bible like that to sort of, he's exploiting it in order to build up his own persecution. He's just added context to the Bible and shit like that. That's absolutely against the Bible.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever met a Christian before.
They do that a lot.
They're not big fans of the Bible.
No.
Turns out the Bible, ugh.
Yeah, the Bible is problematic.
Gross.
Yeah,
there's a lot of shit going on there.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, yeah, and it's tough to defend most of the stuff in it. But anyway, you see there, that's exploitation at the end.
Uh-huh.
It's total exploitation. I love you all. I look for God's face.
Is seeking God's face, is that a thing?
Yeah, I remember that from my church days. I definitely remember people saying that.
So you have a face?
A metaphorical face.
A metaphorical face?
Like a rock face, like a cliff face.
Like the rock's face? Like Dwayne Johnson? It's a good face.
God damn it, I still haven't seen Fast and Furious.
I know, me neither.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Now. Let's leave now. Let's see it. So yeah, we've come to the end, and I want to take a moment to reflect a tiny bit. I really don't think that we got a concise assessment of Bill O'Reilly.
We didn't?
I really don't think that he made any point other than to muddy the waters and say that what this really is about is the globalists trying to take him down.
Yeah, but he got what he wanted out of it.
Sure.
He got the opportunity to, puff his chest out at Bill O'Reilly's expense.
He cucked him out.
Yep. You know, and there's also that little bit of petty, like, hey, Bill O'Reilly's gone. Guess who's left, baby?
A lot bit petty.
It's AJ.
Yeah.
AJ's still sticking around.
Mm-hmm.
I have more listeners than you, and you failed at your radio show. Do you know what you're famous for? One clip where you said the F word. One clip. That's all you got, Bill O'Reilly.
I don't disagree with Alex entirely on that.
No. And then he gets to throw in some Islamophobia,
mm-hmm.
which that's what he has to do. He's got to put that narrative out there.
That's his stock and
especially
trade.
Especially now that we're seeing all of these tensions arise with people who aren't Islamic,
mm-hmm.
Who aren't followers of Islam. He has to get that narrative out there to distract away from things. And then what else did he say? He said some full-on bullshit there.
Megyn Kelly shit.
Megyn Kelly? Why are you talking shit about Megyn Kelly? Leave Megyn Kelly alone.
Leave her alone. We're going to do a Chris Crocker-style video.
Gets to talk about Limbaugh a little bit. Talk a little shit right there.
Gets to talk about how he created Knockout.
Absolutely. Gets to sell some Knockout.
I did it.
It was my idea. My idea was throw a bunch of shit together.
And also do the whataboutism with the liberals.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the real pedophiles.
Yep.
What? Hold on.
And
it's not even the conversation.
And we're always under attack.
But throughout it all, what's most important is that he has a full-on understanding of Philip K. Dick. and that he is a fucking policy wonk. He's really getting down to the substance of what's going on here. Like, he's really in the weeds about this Bill O'Reilly situation.
He's got it.
He has facts.
Yep.
He has...
Which one?
Bill O'Reilly's a thug.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'll actually take that one. Yeah. He's a bully and a thug. I'm in.
Fine.
Nailed it.
You didn't need to do 15 minutes.
No.
You could have said that.
O'Reilly sucks. Anyways, back to PJW in the studio.
Fuck you, Alex.
Ugh.
Good luck in court this week, Alex. I know that it's going to be all week. I'm not looking forward to seeing hot takes about that and everybody reminding me on Twitter. Everybody's fucking tweeting at me all these updates. I know. I'm watching. I see all of it. It is this fine line we walk. I sincerely hope that it ends well.
It should end the way,
any custody battle.
Whatever's best for the fucking kids, which apparently nobody gives a shit about.
That has sort of been our central,
nobody gives a shit about them.
Thought. Anyway, you guys can find us at knowledgefight.com. We have a couple of new pieces up there. Have, a new lie, a new entry in the lie files.
Yes, we do.
And then a new entry in the Alex Jones biography. So please go check in that. Actually, two new entries in the biography.
Uh-oh.
So
we're getting close. We're getting close there.
Not even close.
We're almost done. We almost got the full picture.
Well.
6-year-old kicked off his mom's knee.
That is the full picture. We've already
pretty much finished that. Yep.
Biography done.
Yeah. you can also subscribe to us on iTunes,
please.
Guys. Thank you very much for finding us, however you have, and keep listening.
Yes, and you can find us on Twitter. We just crossed the 100 Twitter followers barrier.
Oh, shit.
We're in the big leagues now.
When do we get that blue check mark, huh?
Oh, man.
Huh, Twitter?
Yeah, you're not going to give it to Julian Assange. You should give it to us. Give us his blue check mark. We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take him. We'll be Julian Assange on Twitter. We don't care.
You can find us at knowledge_fight. I think you said that already on Twitter. What else? That's about it.
What else? I think what else is you. Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh. I'm listening.
If you were a type of wonk, what type would you be?
I'm a bone broth wonk. No, I'm a policy
no,
wonk.
No, you're not a bone broth wonk. You're a chocolate wonk.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.